Welcome to the North Rock Church Podcast. For more great content and updates, visit northrockchurch.com. Enjoy the message.
Little early? What do you guys think? Little early? I know. I've been out and about. I don't know if you guys have noticed this, but there's Christmas stuff all over the place, and we're still 2 weeks out from Thanksgiving. So anyway, I thought I could, slip in some Christmas. I do love Christmas. I thought I could slip it in on us a little bit. I am excited to share this morning, and the Lord has laid this on my heart, and so I'm hoping that it comes out as clearly as I have it in my brain. But we are talking about Lord of the Harvest. And I am going to throw another little piece of Christmas at you guys. And it's about the Prince of Peace. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Prince of Peace. Doesn't that sound good? Oh, peace. Have you ever really just sat and thought about what peace might look like? I can tell you that when I turn on the TV or pull up my computer screen or even on my phone, it doesn't take long for you to find that we have no peace in our world on some level, right? You turn it on and you hear about fires that are ravaging and all kinds of non-peaceful things that we have going on in this world right now. But how about in our everyday lives? Do we all have peace from the Prince of Peace? But peace, what does it really look like? Like, if we really wanted to have peace in our lives, what would that look like? I think there's no better place than to look in the Word to see what that looks like. But here's a couple of thoughts. Have you guys ever been to the mountains after a really good rainstorm? It's so peaceful, right? You can just feel the dew on the ground. It's so nice. Or what about a sleeping baby? Oh, my goodness. Yeah. That's very true. That's a whole other thing. But peaceful, right? But honestly, if I really think about peace, this is just the tip of the iceberg. There's so much more to peace. So I started looking up from that scripture in Isaiah, when it said Prince of Peace, what peace actually means in the Hebrew. And it is shalom. Now, a lot of us probably already know that, but I want to introduce you to this definition of what shalom is, because I think it's a bigger word than what we can even define with peace. So Strong's Concordance defines its meaning as completeness, wholeness, health, peace, welfare, safety, soundness, tranquility, prosperity, perfectness, fullness, rest, harmony, the absence of agitation or discord. Do you see how big that definition is? So much bigger than what I think of when I think of peace in our English language. So what I'm suggesting is that the Prince of Peace is the Prince of Shalom. He is that big definition of peace. And what if we could have the whole definition of shalom in our lives? Wouldn't that be amazing? To have harmony, to be tranquil, to have rest. How many of you guys need rest? I'm telling you, we live in a busy world, right? Or how about to have the absence of agitation or discord? Oh my goodness, that would be amazing. If we allow the Prince of Shalom to sow into our lives, we will reap shalom in our lives. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for this word this morning. I thank you that you are the Prince of Shalom. I thank you, Lord, that you want to bring that to all of us. That was your design when you sent Jesus, to bring us peace, to bring us shalom. Father, I pray that you would speak to our hearts this morning, whatever word it is that you have for each one of us. We just want to give you this time and bring you glory in all that we do and all that we say. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So the Prince of Shalom says, come, follow me. Right? When he first called his disciples, come, follow me. It's an invitation. Come, see what I do. Follow me. Learn from me. I love it in the Message version of Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Just love this scripture. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. I won't lay anything heavy. Oh, I'm sorry. I skipped that. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. It's like my favorite part of the scripture. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. Doesn't that sound like peace? Shalom? It does to me. And Jesus invites us into it. He invites us in. Now, let me say this right now, on a side note. This is about abiding in the shalom of God. But if you have accepted Jesus, if you've said yes to Jesus in your life, you already have peace with God. He took care of that. That's not up to us. He took care of that for us. And nothing can separate you from that. So the peace that I'm talking about, the shalom that I'm talking about, is abiding in his shalom. Does that make sense? I just want to make sure that we're clear. Your salvation is secure. So the Prince of Shalom says in John 14, 23 and 25, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. All this I have spoken with you while I was still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I've said to you. Peace, shalom, I leave with you. My peace, my shalom, I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Don't let your hearts be troubled, and don't be afraid. Such a powerful word from the Lord. Our Prince of Shalom says, and he invites us in. If you love me, you'll obey me. I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. He's going to abide in you. He'll teach you. He'll remind you of all the things that I'm sharing with you. It's like a safety net that we have, right? The Holy Spirit in our lives. Because shalom really is the result of a forgiven heart now filled with the Holy Spirit. That's what it is. If we have the Holy Spirit with us, we can abide in the shalom of God. And one of the ways that we can learn and be taught is in this Bible. It's in our Bibles. And we can attend classes that do biblical teaching. We come to church. We worship together. We get a good word. We have community. These are all the things that we can do to learn and be aware of what the Holy Spirit is trying to tell us. There are so many promises, though, instructions, testimonies, truths, if you just open it up and take a look. Like the promise of seed time and harvest time, like we've just been talking about, sowing and reaping. In Galatians, It says, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from their flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. This is not for the faint of heart. That's a side note. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially those who belong to the family of believers. There's a great instruction right there. We reap what we sow. How about if we sow and allow the Holy Spirit to sow the shalom in our lives? When we allow Jesus to do that, he comes into our relationships. He comes into even our workplace. And dare I say it, he can even come into our finances. I'm going to be talking a little bit more about finances today, and it's just because you guys are fortunate. I just finished a class on Financial Peace University. So it seems coincidental. Not really. Now, this is a journey that we're on. I do want to say that too. We can't just plant a seed, right, and expect it to just blossom right away. This is a journey. This takes time of the Holy Spirit working in us and treading our heart and putting more seed in. It's a good journey to be on. I have a testimony that I want to share about my husband and I's financial peace, recent thing that just happened. I just finished this financial peace class, but I originally took, him and I took financial peace, I don't know, maybe like 10 years ago here at North Rock. And we have been gradually working it out, working out the program. Dave Ramsey has a great way of doing the baby steps, and we had already finished baby step 3, which is saving 3 to 6 months worth of your expenses for an emergency. And so about 3 weeks ago, my husband got up to go get the coffee started and noticed the carbon monoxide detector was not on a zero. It had a number on it. And we were like, oh no, okay. Now what do we do? So we did the, you know, testing within the house, the much that we could test, and realized that we had a problem. And so we were going to have to call somebody to come out and take a look and make sure that our furnace was safe, because you don't want to mess with carbon monoxide. Sure enough, they came out and told us that they were condemning our furnace. Now, this was 3 weeks ago. This was a Friday before. Remember that really cold snap that we had when it was like 7 degrees on Monday or whatever that was? Yeah, so this was an emergency. This definitely was. We needed two things. We needed somebody that we could trust that would put that furnace in for us, and we also needed the money to be able to pay for it. And we had both. Talk about abiding in shalom. We had peace because we had the money saved already, and we had somebody that we could trust that actually ended up staying until 3 a.m. to make sure that we had a heater that would get us through that season, which was really good. Now, I would be remiss if I did not mention that all along the way, I really did want to spend that money. Like, that's, you know, vacation. Or something, right? Rather than just letting it sit in our savings account. But my husband, bless his heart, would always tell me, no, we need to save it. And so I walked up to him after we found out that we had to pay for this new thing, and I gave him a big kiss, and I said, oh, honey, thank you for not letting me spend that money. Because it brought financial peace. It was peace in our lives, because, you know, back in the day, we would have charged it and then had to pay it off over how many months that it would have taken us to do. And debt is just, it's not fun. And finances is just one example of abiding in shalom, where we can abide in shalom. There's so many other areas of our lives that we could bring up. Again, you guys are just fortunate because I finished the financial peace class, so that's what's in my brain right now. But speaking of financial peace class, I do want to take a minute and share something from our class. We do a financial snapshot at the beginning of the class where we talk about how much non-mortgage debt we have as a total class, how much liquid cash we have, and how many credit cards we have. And then we took our final snapshot on the last night of our class. Guess how much we paid off in non-mortgage debt? As a class, $55,010 in 9 weeks. Right? And as a class, we saved $31,200 in our savings accounts over 9 weeks. Oh my goodness, God has blessed us. And we cut up 12 out of 18 credit cards, which I know doesn't seem like a big deal, but it's a big deal. So I just had to share that because it just feels good. As we follow Jesus and allow the Holy Spirit to sow into our lives, the natural byproduct is that we abide in the shalom of God. In Proverbs, it says, "Blessed are those who find wisdom, those who gain understanding, for she is more profitable than silver and yields a better return than gold. She is more precious than rubies. Nothing you can desire can compare with her. Long life is in her right hand. In her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are pleasant ways, and all of her paths are peace." Shalom. But is that all there is? Is it just for us to abide in the shalom of God? I don't know about for you, but when I learn something new, or something strikes me on my heart, the Lord has done in my heart, I can't help but share. I want to share that information, which is why I'm sharing this information with you. And the Lord has been working on me about being a peacemaker. Not just the abiding in the shalom of God, but extending that shalom to other people. Isn't that good? The Prince of Shalom says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God." In James 3:18, it says, "Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness." There's that sowing and reaping again. When we sow in peace, we will reap a harvest of righteousness. And as I said, the Lord's been working on me about being a peacemaker. Because if I'm honest, my tendency is to be a peace keeper. There's a difference. Peacekeeping is keeping the peace, and no matter what the cost. We ignore things, kind of let things fly under the radar. Maybe it'll get better if I just don't mess with it. But that's not what peacemaking is. My study Bible has a great definition of what a peacemaker is. Being a peacemaker means becoming the initiator, in reconciling conflict between others and us. And a peacemaker is willing to give up his or her perceived rights as he pursues a path of seeking and advancing harmony among other individuals, families, and nations, so they may experience shalom through God's love. Being a peacemaker brings so much joy to your life. Once you've received that shalom of God with salvation, and then when you abide in his shalom as you're walking out your day-to-day life, it produces fruit. It just does. That's the dynamic, right? We sow, we reap a harvest. Fruit starts to come from us. We can't help it. It starts to, as I read in one commentary, it starts to drip off of us. To use another analogy from financial peace class we just finished, as I told you, we're going to be talking about this a little bit. Dave Ramsey told a story about some generosity that happened to one of his callers. And I thought when I heard this last Wednesday night, this was on the generosity video, that's the last one we watch, that I really need to share this because it's such a beautiful example of sowing peace into other people's lives with the peace that we've received ourselves. And the story goes like this. There was an older woman. She came walking into church one Sunday morning, just like we did this morning. Her husband had stayed in the parking lot helping park cars. And she sat down in her normal pew because, you know, that's what we do. We have our spots. And she couldn't help but overhear a little argument going on between a younger couple sitting next to her. And so she eavesdropped on the conversation. Let's just be real. She overheard what they were saying. And she leaned over and she said, you know, I can't help but hear that you're arguing. You know, what's going on? And they said, well, our electricity bill is going to be, our electricity is going to be turned off in the next couple of days and we don't know what we're going to do. And we're sorry, you know, that you heard that. And she said, let me pray for you. So she prayed for them. And then she said, can I have your address? You know, I really want to follow up with you and just make sure that you guys are okay. And so they gave her address. They thanked her for praying. And then they went and started with praise and worship. And her husband came in, slipped in next to her, and started to participate. And she leaned over and whispered in his ear, handed him the little slip of paper with the address on it. And he excused himself, went out into the foyer, got up the electricity department, Excel, I guess would be for us, opened it up, and paid that young couple's bill, for a year. Can you imagine that? He came back in, slipped back in, and participated with praise and worship. At the end of the service, the young man got a notification from the electricity company saying that his bill had been paid for a year. Can you imagine receiving that? And he looked over at his new friend and he said, God really does answer prayer. And she said, yeah, he does. Isn't that a beautiful story of sowing into other people's lives? It makes me tear up every time I think about it. If I could have the worship team come back up. Such a good reminder. Now, I know that not a lot of us have enough money to pay an electric bill for a year for somebody else, let alone our own, right? If we're honest. But again, this is just one example. There are so many other examples of the shalom of God abiding in our lives, allowing that to ferment and drip off onto other people. This is not a three-step process either. We don't just wait until we have all of the shalom we need and then we go out and give it out to others. This is something that we can be doing now. Let's start doing it now. Let's be peacemakers. Go out and cause peace to happen in your life. Maybe you're in a conflict with another person. That shalom, when inserted into that, when you initiate it, maybe you realize that it's not really your fault. Because I know I've been there, right? I'm never wrong. Shh, honey, don't say anything. But could we be the initiator of that peace, of that shalom? Jesus was the ultimate peacemaker. Think about it. He sacrificed his life so that we might have his shalom. He became the initiator in reconciling us to God. when we receive this great gift of forgiveness, let's not hold back from initiating forgiveness with others and sharing the good news of Jesus. Now, as the worship band plays this next song, let's take a few minutes and just sit in God's presence. I know maybe as I was speaking, an area of your life maybe came to your mind where you really could have some peace, some shalom in your life. Or maybe he revealed somebody that you might have a conflict with that you need to initiate reconciliation. Whatever that is, whatever that the Lord is speaking into your heart right now, just sit in his presence and let him heal you from that. Let him just have a good conversation with him about it. And then I'm going to come back up and close us. Great are you, Lord. Great are you, Lord. Lord, thank you for what the work that you're doing in our lives. Lord, thank you that you sent your son Jesus to die for us. If you are here today and you have never had the opportunity or taken the opportunity to say yes to Jesus, I'd like to extend that invitation to you today because he's already extended the invitation to you. He loves you so much, and it's no coincidence that you're here this morning. Every Sunday, we pray this same prayer. So join with us this time. If this is your first time, I'd love to meet you after the service. But if this is your 500th time, let's pray it, and let's pray it like we mean it. Lord Jesus, I invite you into my life. I believe that you died on the cross for my sin and that you rose from the grave 3 days later. I receive forgiveness for every failure and sin in my life and give to you the right to direct my life from this day forward. I dedicate myself to learning the scripture, living in fellowship with God's people, and following you in water baptism. In Jesus' name, I pray and I trust. Amen. Amen. Yeah. The Lord's doing something good in your life. I wanted to close with this prayer that was prayed in Colossians because I think it kind of sums all of it up. So let's seal this time. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. As members of one body, you were called to peace and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms and hymns and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. Amen? Amen. All right, let's go be peacemakers, you guys.
Thanks for listening to the North Rock Church Podcast. For more information about our church and upcoming events, check us out at northrockchurch.com, or you can find us on Facebook or Instagram.